Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prarirajakacharya Asto Tirasata Sri Sri Mad. His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Granthraj Sriman Bhagavatam Ki Gaura Premanandi Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. Glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. Sri Sri Radha Madhava, they are always engaged in blissful loving pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. Krishna is the one who reciprocates love with the gopis. And he is the lifter of Govardhan Hill. He is the son of Mother Yashoda and the attractive darling of all of Raja. He can always be seen playing in the garden groves on the banks of the Yamuna River. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. O Krishna, O Vasudeva, O son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Amala Purana, the spotless Purana. We are in Canto 4, we're in Chapter 30, we're on text number 44. The title of the chapter is The Activities of the Prachetas, and the translations and purports are by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki. Text 44. Ata niryaya shalilat. Prachetasa udanvataha Vikshya pupyan drumaischanam Gangam rodum evoch trichaiha. Evoch trichaiha. Let's try. Evoke Chittaya. That sounds better, doesn't it? Ata niryaya salilat.
Ata niryaya salilat.
Prachetasa udan vataha. Vikshya kupyam drumaischanam. Gam gam rodam evok chachitaya. You did better than me. Ata niryaya shalilat.
Ata niryaya shalilat.
Prachetasa udan vataha. Vikshya kupyam drumaischanam. Gangam rodum evok tritaiha. Please chant.
Thank you.
after coming out. Shalilat,
Shalilat,
from the water.
Prachetasaha,
all the Prachetas, Udanvataha, of the sea. Viksha,
having observed.
Akupyan,
became very angry.
Drumai, by trees. Chanam,
covered.
Gam,
the world.
Gam,
the heavenly planets.
Rodum, to obstruct.
Iva,
as if.
Uchcharitai,
very tall. Translation. Thereafter, all the Prachetas emerged from the waters of the sea. They then saw that all the trees on land had grown very tall, as if to obstruct the path to the heavenly planets. These trees had covered the entire surface of the world. At this time, the Prachetas became very angry. I say, you say? Thereafter, all the Prachetas emerged from the waters of the sea.
They then saw that all the
trees on land
had grown very tall,
as if to obstruct
the path to the heavenly planets.
These trees had covered the entire surface of the world. At this time, the Prachetas became very angry. Purport. King Prachinibharishat left his kingdom before his sons arrived after their execution of penance and austerities. And just to remind you, they were in the water for 10,000 years of the demigods. So 6 months of the demigods. 1 year of our time equals 1 day of their time. Anyway, I forget the exact correlation, but it's a long time. So the kingdom was left unattended, and the earth planet was left unattended for a very, very long time. King Prachinashak left his kingdom before his sons arrived after their execution of penance and austerities. The sons, the Prachetas, were ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come out of the water and go to the kingdom of their father in order to take care of that kingdom. They're on a mission from God. Watch out for a pure devotee when he's on a mission from God. Don't stand in his way. However, when they came out, they saw that everything had been neglected due to the king's absence. They first observed that food grains were not being produced and that there were no agricultural activities. Indeed, the surface of the world was practically covered by very tall trees. It seemed as though the trees were determined to stop people from going into outer space to reach the heavenly kingdoms. The Prachetas became very angry when they saw the surface of the globe covered in this way. They desired that the land be cleared for crops. It's very interesting. I'll just make a little aside here. No? Okay, keep on going. Higher authority. It is not a fact that jungles and trees attract clouds and rains, because we find rainfall all over the sea. Human beings can inhabit any place on the surface of the earth by clearing jungles and converting land for agricultural purposes. People can keep cows, and all economic problems can be solved in that way. One need only work to produce grains and take care of the cows. The wood found in the jungles may be used for constructing cottages. In this way, the economic problem of humanity can be solved. At the present moment, there are many vacant lands throughout the world. And if they are properly utilized, there will be no scarcity of food. As far as rain is concerned, it is the performance of yajna that attracts rain. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3:14, Anan bhavanti bhutani parjanyam ana sambhavaha. Yajna bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudha bhavaha. All living entities subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajnas, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. By performing sacrifice, men will have sufficient rainfall and crops. Om again, Atramandasya, Gyanan Jana Shalakaya, Chaksha, Unmilitanyena, Taishmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. Vanchika, Patarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu, Bhyevacha, Patitana Maha, Vanevyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Comment I wanted to make in the middle of the purport was this comment, that it's interesting that the pujetas desire to establish the kingdom based on vanashram principles for the worship of God. That's their desire. That's their order. Their order for So it's interesting that the first thing they're concerned about is what? Establishing a temple. What's their first concern? Agriculture. That is their first concern. My spiritual master once told me that Krishna consciousness will never be firmly established until we return to an agrarian society. And an agrarian society is part of the mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is spoken about again and again in Prabhupada's books. It's something that, to be quite honest, the Hare Krishna movement hasn't really quite seen to fruition yet, and that's putting it mildly. Please forgive my American samskaras. I'm going to quote Joni Mitchell. We are stardust. We are golden. So in that way, she got it right. This is a folk singer from the United States of America back in the 1960s, when I was growing up. This is a folk singer. We are stardust, we are golden. Meaning, we're spirit soul, we're spiritual, we're something special. We are stardust, we are golden, but we're caught in the devil's bargain. And we have to get ourselves back to the garden. And what is that devil's bargain that we're caught into? We're caught into the devil's bargain of a mechanized, machinized economy that's run by oil and machinery. We think that this is going to solve our problems, that if we take to this type of lifestyle. And the question is has it solved our problems? We have huge combines now out in the fields of America, huge machinery. Literally harvesting hundreds of thousands of acres of wheat and putting and doing what? Putting human beings out of work. And the work that God has actually meant for them, that's actually meant for them. My spiritual master told me that, that as soon as you get away from an agrarian-based society, children become a burden. Children become a burden. Because if you have an agrarian-based society, you need them. You need as many hands, unmechanized agrarian-based society. You need them. You need as many hands as you can out in that field when the harvest comes. And you need the children very, very much. So therefore, when in the olden days, when there was an agrarian-based society, people had lots of children. And they loved them. Did that make human society sad? Nowadays we have children and it's a tragedy. Oh my God, she's pregnant. Oh no! Right, true. And then what happens when you have children? Huh? Children, so many children. Bouncing on your knee, then what becomes very important all of a sudden? What becomes very important? Huh? Something that's not valued at all in our society anymore. You know what becomes very important? Motherhood. Ladies? And men? It becomes very, very important. Society. Raising of children. All of a sudden the ladies are in their proper dharmic situation where they'll be happy according to their guna and karma in the body that they're born into. And all of a sudden what else happens when there's an agrarian culture? All of a sudden something really amazing happens. An unmechanized something really amazing happens. So amazing, it's inconceivable to us. All of a sudden, bulls become very important. Because how are you going to clear the land? You don't have any machineries, you don't have chainsaws, you don't have... How are you going to clear the land? How are you going to move things around? How are you going to transport the family? So all of a sudden, bulls become a very important item on the list of things that you need. And then what happens? Man should travel no faster than the great gait of an ox. Huh? This is a statement that Prabhupada would quote. It's not by Prabhupada. It's another statement. So man should travel no faster than the gait of an ox. What happens when the fastest thing on that's going on, of course there's horses too, but the fastest thing that's going on is people are being transported around by bullock cart. What happens in human society? What happens?
everybody mellows out.
Gotta go to the grocery store.
And when everyone mellows out, then what can they do? They can hear the Vedas.
Prabhupada said that there used to be entertainment in India, in village India, way before the British Raj, when he was a young boy. And troops would come to the local villages. And what would they perform? Ramayana and Mahabharata. They would come to the local villages. It was a regular thing. They would come. So there was troops, traveling troops that would come. And when they came to the villages, what payment did they receive? Milk, food, clothing, cotton. These are the very valuable. You see, what I'm trying to get is, you see how artificial we've become. We're so far away from the garden that we don't even have an idea what it means. You know? And what it would mean if we would return to that lifestyle. But that lifestyle, Prabhupada, my spiritual master told me, Ravindra Swarup, he's a very brilliant guy, brilliant personality, sorry. He's very, very intelligent. He said to me, he said, you know, Krishna consciousness in its pure form will never take place until we get back to agrarian society. And this is part of the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement. To return human society back to this state. Now, it sounds primitive when you go out to the regular society. And they say, oh, that's a primitive form of life. We don't want to go back to there. We're so much more sophisticated. We want to go forward. We want to get more machineries and better machineries. We want to get rocket ships that go to the moon, and we want to begin to... They think that forward-looking ideas is that somehow or other we figure out a way to colonize Mars. And they think if somebody's working on this problem, then they're really, really advanced. Even if they get to Mars and they establish a colony there, I swear to God, I'm not making it up, there'll be a graveyard. No matter how advanced they get, they cannot eliminate that. Graveyards on Mars, and there'll be graveyards on the moon. So the Vedas are teaching us, and therefore Krishna Prabhupada is quoting, coming to the third chapter of the Srimad of the Bhagavad Gita, where Yajna is being that part of the Bhagavad Gita, as all of you who know who've taken Bhakti Shastri, is the Karma Yoga section of the Bhagavad Gita. And here it says in this section that one should perform his prescribed duties, yajna. And then the question comes up, is prescribed duties to who? Prescribed duties to what? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask only what you can do for your country. The sentiment is correct. We love John F. Kennedy. The sentiment is correct. The object of the sentiment is completely misplaced. Ask not what God can do for you, but ask what you can do for God. Then it's the perfect statement. And therefore, in human society, we have so many objects that we think that we have to perform prescribed duties to. We have to prescribe duties to our country. That is very noble.
We have to perform our prescribed duties to our family. We have to perform our prescribed duties to our nation, to our community. These are all good things. I'm not saying they're completely neglected in Vedic society, but they're completely misplaced if the primary duty is missing. And what is the primary duty of the human form of life? The primary duty is to God, to Krishna, to Vishnu, to Bhagavan. When that's in place, then all these other subsidiary duties, they have their proper function. But when that's not there, when you add 2 + 2 at the beginning of a creation, of an equation, everything else after that is finished, is gone, is lost. If you add, you say 2 + 2 = 5, forget it, your equation is gone. So if you don't worship Vishnu, if you don't worship God, if you don't take care of the primary necessity of the human form of life, then everything else gets lost in the mix. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, in this section which Prabhupada is quoting, he says, in the very beginning of creation, God sent forth generations of men and demigods. People think that this is mythology. This is a description of the truth. He sent generations forth of men and demigods into the material universe. And what did he do? He said, and he sent them forth what? He sent them forth naked without anything? Go, boom, boom, boom. You've left the spiritual world. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Make of it what you will. No. He sent forth generations of men and demigods, and with what? With sacrifice for Vishnu. With prescribed duties, sacrifice to Vishnu. And he said to them, he said, be happy with these sacrifices. Why? Because they will bestow upon you. They will bestow upon you. The word here, the optimal world is bestow. We are not in charge. And we can't get it to do what we want it to do. And if we can't get it to do what we want it to do, it doesn't mean that nobody's in charge. It just means we're not in charge. And so, therefore, he sends forth generations of men and demigods with sacrifice to Vishnu. And he says, be happy with this sacrifice. Be satisfied. Because it will bestow upon you all things that are required, like rain, for living happily in this world. And there's an added benefit. There's an added benefit. Okay, we may, through great juggly and great manipulation of the material elements, through great, incredible, demoniac exercise of will, we may be able to gather the things in together to make life happy for a few people in this world. That may be possible. And it is possible because we see many people are expert at it and they've done it very, very nicely. But then the second half of the verse says, it will bestow everything upon you for living happily in this world, like rain. And what else? It'll give you liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Now that, in American terminology, is called what? It's called a good deal. And so therefore, Prabhupada, in this section that he's quoting here, the verses before that, he's saying that sacrifice to Vishnu must be performed. Work must be performed as a sacrifice to Lord Vishnu. Why? Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. You gotta, if you don't work for God, then you're going to be working for the other employer. It's not that if you don't work for God, you escape the employer. If you don't work for God, you're going to work for another employer. And she's not nearly as nice as God is. You'll be working for Maya. That's our choice. Work for God or work for Maya. We have free will. That's our choice. Work for God or work for Maya. If we work for God, there are certain benefits that accrue to us. There's the final benefit, which is escape from the whole cycle of birth and death and escape from the material world entirely. If we work for Maya, there are other benefits that are accrue to us. And I won't go there explaining those benefits. So therefore, sacrifice. So work done as a sacrifice to Lord Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Yat karoshi yat ashnashi. Yaj jadosh jajosi dadasi yat. Yat tapasya si kunte yat. Tat kurushva ma admad arpanam. Whatever you do, you want to be a pujari? Be a pujari, but be a pujari for Krishna. You want to be a mother? Be a mother, but be a mother for Krishna. You want to be a singer? Hare Krishna, be a singer for Krishna. You want to be a filmmaker? Be a filmmaker for Krishna. You want to work in an office? Okay, great, but work in an office for Krishna. So whatever you do, yat karoshi, yat ashnoshi, whatever you eat, yat jajosi, whatever tadasiya, whatever offerings you make, and whatever charity you want to give, great, go ahead and do it. But do it as an offering of me. Whatever austerities you perform, great. You like to do austerities? Do austerities. Whatever austerities you perform, but do that as an offering unto me. I have a friend here in Mayapur right now. He's not here in the class, but he likes to wander. He's a real trekker, a real Dharma bum. His name is, anyway, you might see him. I won't mention his name because he's not here, but he's a great guy. I like him very much. He's not initiated yet, but he's one of these persons who's been hanging around the Hare Krishna movement for a long, long time. And he goes back to his home country, which is New Zealand. He comes to India and he travels around in India. And you know what he does in India? He's traveled to 96 of the 108 Divyadesham temples. He's not going to Acapulco. He's not going to the French Riviera. He's not going to Machu Picchu. He's not going here. He's not going there. He likes to travel. He likes to bum around. But what kind of bumming around is he doing? He's gone to 96 of the 108 Divyadesham temples. And according to Shastra, when you reach 108, you're guaranteed entrance into Vaikuntha. Just to let you know, in case you want to do it. And he wants to reach all 108. And he's pretty far along. It's an admirable thing. Okay. So therefore, yat karoshi yat ashnoshi. Now, when Ramananda Roy offered this verse to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramananda Samvat, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, did Lord Chaitanya accept it or reject it? Who can say? What did Lord Chaitanya do? Did he accept it or reject it? Who knows? No one knows? Okay, he rejected it. This is nice. Tell me something else. This is still material. Now, why is it material? Anybody can tell? Raise your hand. Who knows why it's material? Because you're still doing what you want to do. It's not pure devotional service. It's in the house of bhakti. Congratulations, you're at the doorstep of bhakti. The door is open. You may be even looking inside. You haven't really stepped completely, totally. Or maybe you might even be in the outer room of bhakti, but you haven't come into the center of bhakti. Because you're still doing what you want to do. I like to travel around, and I'm traveling around for Krishna. I like to be a mother, and I'm being a mother for Krishna. I like to do this, and I'm doing it for Krishna. I like to sing, I'm singing for Krishna. Congratulations, you're in the house of bhakti. You're not in the house of pure bhakti yet. So what's the difference between that house of bhakti and the house of pure bhakti? Anybody know? The difference is that in the house of pure bhakti, you do anything that God wants. And it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. Arjuna, please kill your relatives. Wait a second, Krishna. Hold it, man. I'm a religious guy, okay? I ain't gonna do that. Can we have a discussion about this first, please? Some discussion about it? Prabhupada was once sitting in his room. He was looking at a poster of Arjuna and Krishna. And Arjuna was on the battlefield with his arrows drawn. And what did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, tough job. Kill your family members. He didn't want to do it. Even though it was all part of the leela of the Lord to rid the earth of its burden. So that is pure bhakti. Not that sometimes the things that we want to do happen to go coincide with the Lord's wishes. Sometimes there are things in bhakti that we don't want to do. And you know what we should do when we hit a smack against the wall of things in bhakti that we don't want to do? What do you think we should do? We should do it. Chaktva karma phalam sangha nitya tripto nirashaya karmanya bi pravitto bi naiva kinchit karoti sa. Chaktva karma phalam sangham. Chaktva means to give up. Karma, phalam, the fruits of action. Karma phalam shangam. Abandoning attachment to the fruits of action. So, abandoning the attachment to the result of your activities, ever satisfied and independent. The yogi, he performs no fruit of activities, although engaged in all kinds of actions. So why is he ever satisfied and why is he independent? To illustrate this verse, I always like to use this phrase, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. What do you think that phrase means?
First chant and then be happy.
Okay, we'll take that. But there's a lot of people, they hear, now, my flatmate told me that Prabhupada never said this. This is not a Prabhupada aphorism, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. I don't know if he's correct or not.
Chant and make your life.
Yeah, he says that what Prabhupada said was chant and make your life sublime. Chant and your life will be sublime. That's the aphorism that Prabhupada used. And according to to Vasudeva, that this chant and be happy was introduced by the devotees who were around Prabhupada. So I don't know whether that's a side issue.
It was approved.
Oh, it was approved by Prabhupada. Okay, great. So it was approved by Prabhupada. So chant and be happy. What does it mean, chant and be happy? Does it mean by chanting? What does it mean? Does it mean by chanting? La, la, la. The world is going to bend my way. Everything's going to come to me, and now I'm chanting. Okay, I'm chanting, God. Oh, God, won't you give me a Mercedes Benz? Well, God, I'm chanting now. I'm chanting. Okay, everything's got to go my way now. Come on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Is that what it means? Is that what chant Hare Krishna, be happy means? How many think so? Raise your hand. Okay, we got one honest man back there. No. That's not what Chant Hare Krishna and be happy means. Chant Hare Krishna means and be happy. And then you got to look at the next the next part of the verse. Nitya tripto nirashaya, ever satisfied. The yogi, this is, he's ever satisfied and he's independent. Independent nirashaya means he has no shelter in this world. Having no shelter means that he doesn't take shelter of anything else in the material world. He's only taking shelter of God. He's not looking for shelter from his bank balance. He's not looking for shelter from his family. He's not looking for shelter from his youth. He's not looking for shelter from his knowledge. He's not looking for shelter from his austerity. He is the only place he's looking for shelter is from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. That's his well. So nirashayata chit. So he's ever satisfied. He has no shelter. He's independent because he's depending completely on God, and therefore he's independent. He's not dependent on the trappings of the material world. He's got a shelter that's beyond the material world, and he's nirashayata. So he's chanting Hare Krishna. And why is he chanting Hare Krishna? And why is he being happy? Because he knows it's the right thing to do. He knows that it's the right thing to do. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, chant Hare Krishna. Whether you're sad, whether you're happy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, chant Hare Krishna. Whether things happen to you terrible or things happen to you nicely. So many people's bhakti, I've seen this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in the Hare Krishna Mahamu movement. And it's so sad that so many people's bhakti is dependent on whether they turn God into a Santa Claus and he takes out the presents from the bag. And if the presents don't come out of the bag, then the hell with bhakti. So I've seen this over and over and over again in the Hare Krishna movement. But this is not what bhakti is about. Bhakti is about not what God is giving us, but what we're giving to God. So therefore, you chant Hare Krishna according to Bhakti Vinod. You abandon the result. You abandon attachment to the result of the activity. You perform the devotional service, but you don't perform it looking for a result. You perform it because God is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our worship. And that's the only reason why you chant Hare Krishna. He's worthy. Let me give the worthy object what he wants, which is our hearts and minds. So that's bhakti. So therefore, sorry I got lost there in my emotion. I'll try to calm down. So so abandon the attachment to all the results of his activity, ever satisfied and independent. He performs no fruit of activity, although engaged in all kinds of undertakings. This is what's called yoga. Now, to make it clear, in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where this verse is quoted, and where Prabhupada is completely, totally discussing yajna in that section of the Bhagavad Gita. It's the beginning of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He makes it clear that yajna in the age of Kali Yuga means the sanctity. What time do we have?
Yes, 1:45. 1:45?
Okay. So, I got a little lost there, but I'll just give you the sankirtan yajna. I'll give you a few verses that backs up this quote, that when in the age of Kali Yuga, the primary
Yajna is the Sankirtan Yajna. The primary Yajna to be performed by all are the Sankirtan Yajna. So, first of all, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nishteva, Nishteva, Gatya Anyata, in the age of Kali. Chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, there is no other means for self-realization. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Later on in the Bhagavad Purana, when Pariksha Maharaj asks the question, what is it that's the prime duty for humanity at large, and what is the prime duty particularly for a man who's about to die? Sukadeva Goswami answers the question by saying this, etan nirvidya mananam ichitam akutabhayam yoginam nipa nirnitam harir nama anukirtanam. He says, chanting the holy name of the Lord, there's a very interesting word in here. He says, yoginam apri nirnitam. Nirnitam means it's already been decided. It doesn't have to be researched. It's already been decided. You don't have to wonder about it. Is this the right thing to do, or is this not the right thing to do? According to Shastra, this is the right thing to do. According to Guru Parampara, this is the right thing to do. So, nirnitam means it's already been decided. There's no question, there's no further research that has to be done. So, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, after the ways of the great authorities, anukirtanam. Anukirtanam means kirtan, that's fortified by the four regular principles. That's kirtan following the authority. The authority, our authority is Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. Srila Prabhupada told us that in order for kirtan, in order for the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be truly effective, it's always effective, but in order for the fruit to really, really manifest, then you have to be following these four regular principles. Raga Dresha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischayan Atman Vaishayer Videyata Pasharam Adagashati. Person who is free from all attachment and aversion and able to control the senses through the regulative principles of freedom, he can obtain the complete mercy of God. So Anukirtan means kirtan fortified by these four regulative principles. Nowadays there's a fashion kirtan movement going on in the United States of America, where people are having big kirtans, but there's no discussion of following the four regular principles. We don't want to spoil the fun. Okay? We don't want to like put any trips on anybody, so we'll have kirtan, but we'll never discuss the four regular principles. That's not anukirtan. That's not kirtan following in the chanting of the holy name after the ways of the great authorities. That's a different type of kirtan. It'll have an effect after 300 million births. But you want to get done quick, you want to make a quick show of it, you want to get the business of human life done very quickly and go back home to Godhead in this lifetime, by the way, while you have a human form of life. Congratulations, you've graduated, you're in the human form of life, you got one. You want to make a quick show of it and do what it's meant to do? Then anukirtan, kirtan fortified by the chant, by following the four regular principles. So chanting the holy name of the after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless method for all, including those who are free from all material desires. Those who desire all kinds of material enjoyments, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of their transcendental knowledge. Quote one more verse and then I'll finish. This is in the sixth chapter. I'll quote two more verses. This is in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam when Yamaraj is talking to the Yamadutas. He says, Etan, he says, Etavan eva lokeshmen. Lokeshmen means within this world. Etavan eva lokeshmen. Pumshams. Pumshams means all the people. All the people. Etavan eva lokeshmin pumshams dharma para smritaha. Smritaha, again, that's this word, smritaha means recognized, authorized. You don't have to argue about it. It's already been concluded. Okay? So smritaha,
Bhakti Yoga, Bhagavati, not to anyone else but to God, to Bhagavati, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, not to a demigod. Prabhupada says, right in the word-for-word translation, he writes, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he puts in quotation marks, and not to any demigod. So Bhakti Yoga, Bhagavati, Tannama, Grahana means to accept. Tannama, Grahana, Dibihi. So devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. This is, believe it or not, somehow or other we fell into it. How that happens, God knows. But believe it or not, Ripley's Believe It or Not, according to the Vedas, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, according to Lord Yamaraj, one of the 12 Mahajans, chanting the holy name of the Lord, after the way, devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. What is it? What is devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord according to Yamaraj? It is the ultimate religious principle for everyone in human society. So this is yajna. You do this yajna, then you'll get your rains. You'll get enough to live with. You'll get your food. Things will come to you automatically. There is a mystical side of the universe. We don't have this universe figured out. The scientists do not have a clue. They are in absolute darkness. The philosophers, they can manipulate the universe, good. But they don't have an idea. They don't have a clue. That there's a mystical side to the universe. There's demigods above us. There are powers that are greater than us. And we have to appease them. So that is called sacrifice. And you learn this sacrifice from the Vedas and from the lotus feet of the Guru. Okay. Sorry, I got a little carried away there. Please forgive me if I've offended anybody or insulted anybody with any strong words. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I step over a line on occasion. And if I did and I hurt anyone's feelings, please forgive me. Okay, any questions? Yes, please.
I think the only thing you offended is nonsense. Your class was very sensible and enlightening. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Just a small comment and a question. A comment about the agrarian society. That everything falls into place, like you mentioned. And in the olden days, Prabhupada writes, like you also mentioned, he writes that there were troops going around the countryside and from village to village, town to town.
Yeah, you would be interested in that because you're an artist. So that
they would perform Ramayana and Mahabharata.
Yeah.
Prabhupada writes that this gave a chance to everybody.
That's correct.
Including the illiterates.
That's correct.
To know all that was to be known from the Vedas.
That's correct.
That was relevant to their lives.
That's right.
I just wanted to add that because you brought it out in my mind.
Yeah, you don't have to be literate to understand the Vedas. You just have to hear it from the right source. According to Gaurakishore Das Babaji was illiterate. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's spiritual master was illiterate. I don't know whether how bad it was or how whether he could read it all or how deep it went or whatever, but he was not a great scholar, but he heard the Vedas from the right source, and he was an incredible sadhaka. But with that, can, okay, go ahead. But
I have a question.
With that, sure, okay, go ahead. But with
so this being said, we have also a practical example of how true it is that by refusing the world of machinery and petrol-based, oil-based society, that everything will get back into place. We have a living example of this in the Amish communities in America, some of them more strict than others, who are very effectively demonstrating how true it is by being based solely on the bull power and adamant refusal to adopt machinery as a means of livelihood. Some of them more than others.
Yeah, I live in this.
Let me finish.
Okay, sure.
And in spite of the fact that we have this example in front of us, in a sense, we pale in embarrassment that we don't seem to be interested anywhere near in following that example and becoming, you know, in line with what you've been saying in this class, the agrarian Varnasham way.
You want to make a comment on that?
Yeah, no, this is a question. Yeah, why is it that we are not interested?
You know, I want to say a few things about that. I want to say I live in Pennsylvania and I'm familiar with the Amish community very, very much. So we can discuss this at a later time. It's a different, separate discussion. Why aren't we pushing the agrarian society except in our books? There are a few devotees who are trying. Dhruva, in Gidanagri Farm, there's 6 devotees who are trying. Here and there, there are devotees who are trying, okay? So it's not like everybody is not aware of this great need in our society. But I want to make this point, is one thing my spiritual master said is we're just not ready yet for this. Ravinder Swarup said, we're not ready. It's a failing on our part. And just like I see these young boys come into the temple, this is not in any way a criticism. There's always this group of young boys, really strong, muscular guys. And you see them jumping around the temple this morning and stuff like that, you know. I mean, they're powerful built bodies, you know. They're part of the Bhakta program here, you know. I'm not so tuned in, so please excuse me, because, you know, I live in my own little world. So, but I know those boys. I've seen like 6 or 7, or in my time here in Mayapur, I've seen 5 or 6 crops of those boys come in. Crops. Please forgive. And they're beautiful boys. And they're teaching them really nicely the basic principles of bhakti yoga. I know that one of my good friends, Radha Duti, is in charge of that program. And God, if I could get under, he's practically a pure devotee. I mean, he is a pure devotee. He's amazing. I love that guy. He's such a great devotee. He's the one who's taking care of that program. I don't know if he's still doing it. I'm not in tune. But the point I want to make is that I know these boys are going to graduate from this program at some time because I've seen so many of them go through. And then I know what's the next step after they graduate from this program. And that's as they go out on traveling Sankirtan to collect money for the project. This is the next step, I think, for most of them. Am I right about this? I think for most of them. So the point is why aren't we, why that? Why that? Why not, I see our fields here, and it's true at Gidanagri Farm, why not take that same crop of boys and fire them up about working the land? Why don't we do that? So, and why not us too as well? Why aren't we? I notice people have gardens, and I know that's noticed they hire higher gardeners. So the answer to that question is, because agriculture is tough work. I've done it at Gidanagri Farm, and it's hard work. And it's honest work. honest hard work, and there's very little money in it. The farmers are dirt poor, and we can go on and on and on and on and on with the problems of agriculture, but the point I want to make is that we shouldn't just lose sight of these teachings of Srila Prabhupada. We should understand that Krishna consciousness, like Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is best practiced in a tropical environment. Krishna consciousness is best practiced in an agrarian society. When the society gets agrarian, then Krishna consciousness becomes easy to practice. I will say one thing in defense of Mayapur, we still don't have a movie theater here. Nor do we have a television station. And when you're bored in Mayapur, what do? I'm bored in Mayapur sometimes. Not that I go out in my seva, I do my Harinam seva, but there's sometimes when I get restless. What do? I go and jump in the river. And I come to the temple. And all of a sudden, the morning program has become really important to me. You know why? Because it fills up my day with very valuable activities. So we haven't gone so far downhill, but yes, we have lots of ground still to cover in this regard. And yes, it's true. When it comes to fulfilling this part of Prabhupada's teachings, we're still really in the embryo stage. Okay. Hopefully for the future. Yes, someone. Mr. Moon. I always call him Mr. Moon. I don't know if he likes that or not, but anyway, Mr. Moon.
So, actually, the real soma is the king of all vegetation. He's the lord of the trees.
That's true. Pushnami chausadi. Pushnami chashadi sarvaham soma bhutva rasatmaka.
But it's interesting that on a few occasions, Srila Prabhupada was very concerned about people killing trees. There's an example in Juhu,
yes,
where they wanted to make a road, and there were some, I believe, coconut,
yes,
trees. It was very difficult. They had to get other permits and stuff, but he didn't want that tree to be killed. And there was another story in Dallas where a tree was actually like leaning on the building.
True. I know that story too.
And he was very upset that they cut it. And
so
he was kind of criticizing this unnecessary killing of trees. In this verse, you know, all of a sudden they're trying to wipe out all the trees, and it's, you know, mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as something good that they were actually, you know, clearing the land. It seems
right.
A little bit of a contradiction.
Yes. This is a very, very, I'm going to say one thing about, because I wanted to cover this in my class for time, and I really appreciate this conversation. The other thing about this is they're pure devotees, and they've just had a darshan of God. And they come out of their darshan of God, they come out of their place on the bottom of the ocean, and immediately they get angry. Okay? So, I want to say this about this anger, and I don't know if this will exactly hit your point, but we have a stereotypical idea of what a pure devotee is. You know, I really wanted to make this point that sometimes I see that people in the modern Krishna conscious movement, they're turning Prabhupada into the all-wise, loving Buddha psychologist. Have you ever noticed that? That he always had time for everybody, and he was always so loving and giving, and he never got angry. Prabhupada got angry. And I know he got angry, because I know a story from my spiritual master where he had my spiritual master crying. His grace, divine, his holiness, that's Rupa Maharaj. tell the story? Can I tell the story? Okay. So what he did is that Satsang, he said, he wrote a letter to somebody, and he said in the letter, Satsang Maharaj typed it out, that enclosed in this letter you will find an addendum. Okay. So Satsang Maharaj sent the letter out, and then he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada asked him, did you send that letter out? He said, yes. And then he said, you included the addendum, didn't you? And Satsang Maharaj said, no, I didn't include the addendum. And Prabhupada said,